joy to be here with you on this Stewardship Sunday. The kind invitation of your rector and my friend. I haven't been to this parish before in my life, and I commend you on what a beautiful place you have. I've been wandering around and got lost twice this morning already. But it is a marvelous place, and I'm sure you know you are blessed with such a space to worship the Lord. I love the story of the mother cat. She was out on a stroll with her three kittens, just like a day like today. Suddenly on the horizon, the mother cat saw a big, ferocious dog coming her way. So she quickly took her little kittens and squeezed them in under a porch, a tight little space where she knew they'd be safe from the ferocious dog. So she turned after placing the kittens under the porch, and she started off toward the dog. And the two of them got closer and closer and closer together until they were almost nose to nose, and the mother cat looked right at the dog and went, with that, the dog turned 180 degrees and ran the other way. Then the mother cat went down under the little porch and squeezed in where the kittens were. And she sat down in front of the kittens and looked them straight in the eyes and said, "Now I'm going to explain to you why I insist you learn a second language." We grow up learning and knowing the language of the dominant culture. We all know that language. We speak it well, just like that. But when we come here on Sunday morning, it's a different language. It is quite different from the language of the street that we know in our dominant culture. This is a language that talks about things in a different way. For example, the language, the street that you and I grew up with and know well, it says, "I earned it, I made it, I went to school, I learned, and I worked hard for everything. It's mine. I learned, earned it, I made it." When you come into here, the language changes radically. It says, "All things come of thee, O Lord." Wow, that's radically different than the language that I've learned. The language here says all things come of God, and that I'm blessed with what I have from God. That it really isn't mine at all. And as the rector said a moment ago in his announcements from here, I'm a steward taking care of what God has entrusted to me. And it all comes, but that's not the language of the street. That's not the language you and I grew up with. We Episcopalians have not done very well teaching the language that all things come of thee, O Lord. I have a friend who was a Mormon. He happens to be one of the 70 Mormons that runs the whole Mormon church worldwide in Salt Lake. Ralph Harding, who's in Washington, D.C. Ralph and I are on a board together, and we were sitting together during the time of the primaries, and one of the men running for president of the United States, as you well know, was a Mormon, former governor of Massachusetts. And so we were talking about it, and I said, Ralph, how do you get Mormons to tithe? Every one of them, 10% across the board. How do you get that?" He said, "Well, you understand that a Mormon child grows up knowing this. First, you learn, then you earn, And then you return. Learn, earn, return. I said we Episcopalians have something a little bit like that. Episcopalians learn it this way. First you learn, then you earn, then you retire. Knowing the language of this place over and against the language we've all grown up with is difficult. Learning a second language, always difficult. And you have to practice that second language. You have to come back here week after week, for you tend to forget. We lose the second language just like that unless we work at it. There's a man that goes around the country speaking, Rotary clubs and high schools and different gatherings, magnificent speaker. His name is Charles Plum. Charles Plum, as a kid, wanted nothing more than to fly airplanes in the Navy, and he went to the Naval Academy and got an appointment. After the Naval Academy, he graduated. He could hardly wait to get to Vietnam, and he flew 75 missions over Vietnam in his jet. The 76th mission, he was shot down. He ejected and floated down in his parachute into enemy territory and was a prisoner of war for 5 years. When he got out of prison and came back home, he was a hero. Everybody wanted to meet him and hear him and listen to him. And he went around the country speaking for some years. Charles Plum was out to dinner with his wife one night in a restaurant, just the two of them. And suddenly, he got a tap on the shoulder. And he turned around and looked up. He'd never seen the man before. The man said, "You Plum?" He said, "Yes, I'm Plum." "Did you fly off the Kitty Hawk in a jet in Vietnam?" "Yes, I flew off the Kitty Hawk." Silence. Finally, the man in a self-conscious moment said, "Well, I packed your parachute." And he looked at him. And he was so shocked, he didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything, just sat there. Finally, in the awkward silence, the man said, "Well, I guess it worked." And turned and walked away, never to be seen by Charles Plum again. Plum went home that night. He couldn't sleep. He wandered around the house all night. How could I have never even thought about the man who stood down there in the hold of the ship and carefully folded my parachute, fold after fold, with my name right on it? And I never even once thought about him. And I went around the country telling everybody what a hero I was, and it never even entered my mind that there was somebody who saved my life by packing my parachute. He said, "If I probably had thought about it, I wouldn't have done anything, because I was a rim knocker from the academy. I wouldn't have spoken to that guy. He was nothing but a lowly sailor. Why would I even speak to him on the deck of the ship?" Charles Plum. Still speaks today. He's a spellbinding speaker. Some of you might have heard him. But he's changed his speech. His speech is now titled, "Who Packs Your Parachute?" I love the story. Probably the best story, most popular in the whole New Testament. Jesus made it up to make a point. You know it well. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. Three philosophies of life in this biblical story that Jesus made up and told. First philosophy of life, the robber. The robber's philosophy is what's yours is mine and I'll take it. Isn't the robber in here? We don't worry about that philosophy of life. We don't think that way. There are very, very few people that live with that philosophy. What's yours is mine and I'll take it. But that was the philosophy of the robber. He beat up the man and left him in the ditch to die. The second philosophy of life is the two people who walked by the man in the ditch who was about to die. And they went and walked on the other side of the road. Their philosophy of life is, what's mine is mine and I'll keep it. Well, that's just common sense, isn't it? I earned it, I made it, it's mine, I'll keep it. That's the philosophy of the language of our street. That's the philosophy of the language we grow up. That's the philosophy that isn't the philosophy of this place that's made it what it is for these many, many, many decades. Third philosophy of life is the philosophy of the Samaritan. He came by, saw the man in the ditch, lifted him up, carried him to the inn, and put the money down on the counter of the inn and said, here's enough money to take care of this man until he gets well. And by the way, if you can't get well in the time this money will suffice, then put it on my bill, and the next time I come through here, I'll pay the bill until this man is able to get well. Third philosophy in life, what's mine is yours, and I'll share it. No wonder it's such a powerful story. No wonder it's one of the most popular stories in the whole New Testament. No wonder we all know it by heart, because it speaks the language that we want to speak, but find the domination of the culture teaching us every day a different language. Yes, what stewardship is all about is stopping and saying, all things come from you, Lord. It's a Sunday in which we get a tap on the shoulder, and the tap on the shoulder says, do you remember my blessings that I've given you this year? And then God says, I guess they worked. Because most of them we don't even remember. Most of the blessings that come into our lives, we don't even stop and acknowledge. They're just good luck. They're just things that happen. And we think we've earned them all. And we can say, like the two who walked on the road, it's mine. And what's mine is mine alone. Stewardship is not about St. John's and its needs. Oh, St. John's, we know needs with resources. But that's not the primary reason for today. The primary reason for today is the language of this place that says, oh, I forgot the blessings for the past year. There's so many I can't even name them. And then I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the many blessings, most of which I cannot even now remember, and I remember. return just a tip, just a portion, just a tiny percentage of 10% in thanksgiving for all you have given me and the blessings that have been mine. Stewardship. It's about me. It's about me and my blessings. And the tendency to have forgotten whom they came from. Thank you, Lord, for stewardship Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for tapping me today on the shoulder. And thank you for the chance to return a portion in thanksgiving for all your blessings.